You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. Visit us at mashthosebuttons.com.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Dropping Spicy, a Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to Apex Legends, its development, and the community. I'm your host, Josh, just moved into the Playboy Mansion, Kinder, also known as Kinder. I'm joined today by Matthew, just playing it cool, Crowl, also known as Exomat.
I'm trying.
And we are joined by Adam. I'm your Huckleberry, Heitkey, also known as Atom Bomb.
What's up, Adam? I've been sprinkling in some Overwatch lately, so I had to throw that one in there.
Yeah, man, Overwatch 2. Yeah. I'm trying to avoid it, but it's calling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. As always, we'd like to welcome any first-time listeners. If you'd like to become part of the Dropping Spicy community, please join us at mash.gg/discord, where you can meet the hosts and fellow Apex players. As always, our intro music is brought to you by Rifty Beats. That's R-I-F-T-I. You can find him on YouTube and SoundCloud. We'd like to thank our partner, Chicken Coop Esports. CCE is an esports and tournament hosting organization focused on bringing players opportunities that want to take their first step into the competitive scene of Apex Legends. We are recording at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday, May the 3rd. And we have several topics for you guys today. We're going to start off with some quick announcements. Then move into our Monday Lore Day, then our week in Apex, some quick news, and then the meat of the show, our Crash Landing Tournament and how that went. That was a good freaking time, my guys. And we're going to end things off with our weekly community question. All right, some quick announcements. Don't forget to submit your juicy Apex clips in the DS Clips of the Week channel on Discord. And congratulations to Sigismund. Sigismund, Emperor's Champion, for being our Clip of the Week winner this week. Homie Pack popped a fat Gibby ult. I can't read this like you typed it.
Sorry.
Homie popped a fat Gibby ult in the final ring with two squads left, got knocked, and watched his bombardment do the rest. That's a good feeling right there.
It was juicy.
And I think, Adam will agree with me that the absolute devilish cackling he was doing just as watching them, he got knocked. He's like, oh man. And then we watch all them die. He's like,
all that was left was like one lifeline with maybe 10 HP left. And so he just had to muster up the nuts to like calm himself down and stop laughing to just tell his teammate, like, it's just the lifeline left, man. Cause he was like in the middle of a laugh attack and they finished her off. No problem. That was a funny way to watch a win. That was great.
And that make a great sound bite. Yes. I have to steal that for TikTok or something.
Yes.
And finally, Season 13 starts on March the 10th. Finish up that ranked grind and enjoy your favorite guns. All right. Who wants to start off with Monday Lore Day?
I got you. So,
Bueller.
Cut to him. So thanks again to Savage Sam, our beloved social media lad. It's Lore Day yesterday. This week, we focus on Pathfinder. Let's see if you guys know this one already. Before being in the Apex games, one of Pathfinder's many jobs was a weather reporter. And he'd be like, hello, friends. Today is a beautiful sunny day. I'm just polishing my grapple. I don't know, man. It's the only quote I know from him.
It will rain tomorrow, but if it doesn't, I can't get in trouble anyway.
They've got, I was playing with an Ash earlier, I want to say yesterday, last night, I think, with an Ash, and of course, you know, different players hear the comments, they hear different comments, I pressed 5, you know, on mouse keyboard, that's the thank you button, somebody pings something, you grab it, and he said, thanks, ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
And I was just laughing. Oh, so good. I love these little tidbits they got in here.
That's I haven't heard that one yet. That's really good. Oh man. So, week in Apex. How y'all been doing this week?
A lot of Apex this week. Although, I mean, I guess me and Adam's week in Apex was a little bit voyeuristic, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I like the only notes we have under week in Apex is edging around the plat drain.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I spent my week in the last quarter of Gold 1. It's been a little tough. I mean, I really just need one good game, but out of the last, like, 15 or 20 games in ranked, I haven't had it yet, so
it's kind of we tried earlier forward. Tonight, man. We had two matches in a row where we dropped hot as fuck, and just absolutely fucking ended the team that landed with us, and then as soon as we finished the fight, we're getting third party with a team that didn't land anywhere near us.
And then we're, like, plus a few, minus a few, you know, and just like, ah.
Yep. Been in the tires.
Absolutely demolished by a 10-10-10 4K bronze 4 squad.
Good lord.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. That was some bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, you know how it is. They actually were high level. At least it wasn't like the level 20-something with the 4K, but anywho.
I wonder if it was just like an old Diamond player or Masters player or something that, like, left it for a while and then came back for this season or something.
Yeah, I mean,
or just playing with some homies.
As much as a bitch, you know, that is a legitimate thing. That you know, somebody doesn't play ranked. They're just a mega pub stomper, just going around just demolishing pubs lobbies, and then they finally play some ranked, and they just, like, you know, like 10 games to silver, 20 games to gold. You know,
right, right. Yeah, you know, that's just how it is whenever you have, like, rank decay.
I know my math is wrong, but just be gentle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wasn't thinking much.
I wasn't even guesstimating. Just making stuff up.
Oh, man. In other news, Apex Mobile is releasing later this May. And on May the 2nd, the Apex Legends Mobile account tweeted, Legends changed the game, but they can't do it without you. Pre-register and be ready to drop in. Later this month, and it has a link for both Android and iOS pre-registration.
Yep. Yeah, so definitely worth checking out. You know, I mean, now you can play Apex while you're taking a dump, right? This is what we're here for. So, priorities.
So is this, like, the full version for, like...
Supposedly it is.
Okay. Because they had, like, a beta version out there for other parts of the world, right? Like, we had some homies in Australia and... like Agent in Hong Kong that were already accessing it.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, all the major streamers were doing it with VPNs too, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, honestly, yeah, it's supposed to be the full release.
By NordVPN. I know.
This episode of Dropping Spicy brought to you by NordShark.
Right.
Or NordVPN or Surfshark. God damn it.
Ugh. I wasn't going to say anything.
Can't trust me with anything. I mean, see, that's your shtick, is kind of playing it clean, smoothly. My shtick is making fun of me getting it wrong about myself.
Right, right.
But yeah, so I don't know. That's pretty cool. That's supposed to be the full release now. You know, I don't think we're getting like LTMs and arenas and ranked arenas, but at least, like, the base game is going to be dropped. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if they'll, well, I'm sure they'll have, like, separate lobbies like they do with console and PC and all. And then if you, like, team up with somebody on mobile. Like, surely, yeah, I wouldn't imagine they would, you know, release it without that.
No, it's miles different, and there's mega aim assist because you're using your fingers, so.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But it would be interesting. I would guess they have crossplay. You know, didn't Fortnite and PUBG both have crossplay with mobile?
Possibly. And actually, I think part of the reason they're bopping it out now is that Siege is apparently releasing a mobile, like, really, really, really soon. Like, I think also this month. And then, if I'm not mistaken, they're working and making a lot of progress on a Valorant mobile.
Really?
Yeah, everything is going out. Yeah.
It's just the weird Chinese market, you know, all the mobile gamers they have over there.
It's a different world of mobile games. They got everything. So it kind of makes sense, though. I mean, if we're glued to our phones anyway, we might as well be trying to grind a pred on our phones, too, right?
Right. Plus, they're probably on, like, iPhone 19 and Galaxy 11 or I don't know the Android version, but it seems like they're always ahead of us anyway.
The damn phone's got like 32 gigs of RAM. It's like a nice gaming PC. Like,
yeah. And you can trim your facial hair with it somehow.
Yeah. Right. It gives you a neck rub. Kisses you goodnight.
Maybe like, more. All right.
Oh no. Anyway.
Oh man. Speaking of like phone attachment shit, this is a little off topic, but I watched Elias Tech Tips or something like that one day, and they were talking about weird ass phone accessories, and there was this one. It was a fucking shaver.
Yes.
Like a literal shaver that you plugged into the charging port on your phone, and it would like, you could try to shave with it, and they're like, this thing really sucks. So let's see what's in it. And you just literally unscrewed it, and there was just fucking wide open, unguarded fucking blade spinning on your phone.
Was that like a case accessory or like a?
It was literally just like a plug-in, like a.
It just plugs into your power port.
Micro USB
or micro.
Yeah. This was a few years back, so I don't think it was USB-C. But yeah, you just plug that motherfucker in. It's just Jesus.
Oh my. All right. This is some shenanigans. Oh my.
Yeah, some Reddit tier fucking humor there. Speaking of Reddit, what do we got here in this this graph that you have?
So this is a pretty cool thing. Actually, Adam and I both kind of separately found this. Redditor AC0W161 Echo Wow. No.
That's the sound it makes when the Kraber hit.
Go, wow. No, it's the noise I make when the Kraber hits me.
Lipstick in my Valentino white bag.
Oh no.
That's all I can think of.
Oh man. Okay. So but basically it's a really cool in-depth graph. And basically, they polled people. There's three different categories, basically based on when you died. And it was what guns you got shot by or died to, I think. Mm-hmm. So early game, and that's placement 20th through 14th. Mid game, placement 13th through 6th. And then late game, 5th place to first place. So now I'm going to give everyone one guess at what, by an insane margin, we're talking 20%+ margin in every category, the most common gun was.
Yep. Can everyone say it together?
I mean, we're looking at a graph, so.
Well, okay, yeah, fair. Okay, yeah, yeah. It's an R301, like, easy peasy. Like, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the laser itself. It's the Instagib. It's the
true. And I just wanted to offer a little bit of clarification on this, if I could. So, actually, if I recall correctly, he explained that him and his buddies squatted up, and basically, just after each game, they took inventory of the gun that killed them.
Oh, right. Okay,
and it
okay.
looks like based on the number of responses that they did it about 66 times. So they played 66 games, and just every time they died, each of them took an inventory of what gun killed them.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That margin of error is really large too. I mean, that's a pretty convincing win there for the 301 and consistently over all three categories.
Yep.
And this is out of 28, I believe, guns in the game right now.
I want to say so. And then second place, slightly surprisingly to myself, was the car. Pretty consistently at around 20%. To 26, depending. Nothing else, at least consistently, came close to these. The R9 is pretty popular. The alternator was also very popular.
Early game.
Yeah. But everything else was below. And we can actually post a link to this in the Discord. Everything else was at or below 10%. Most below 5%.
Considering how many guns there are, that's not surprising. What's way more surprising is like when you have anything over like 5%, in the 301, really surprisingly, with like 46% in the early game. I can't see the percentage, they're very small, but like it's ridiculous. Over 50% usage.
Yeah, 46% early game, 57% mid game, 67% late game. I mean, it's just like everybody's got that. Hell, yeah, I've run with friends running 2-3-0-1s before.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, R400 is better. In case you don't know, that's a R9, R301. And then you just carry like 400 light.
Mm-hmm.
Or more. You get that, dude, three times. Okay, best scope on the R301. Rapid fire, three times.
I'm a two times HGOG fan. Like, I'm a sucker for it.
Flip a coin for me. I love them both.
That's acceptable. Yeah, those are the best two scopes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I also like a 2.4, but I like the 2.4 better on the flat line than I do the 301.
I know this is your podcast, but get the hell out. No, I'm just kidding. a lot of people like
it. I didn't think I liked it until like I was forced to use it one time in duos. And I had like, I think I got like 9 kills or 10 kills that game or something. Dude, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like
fucking, that's all it takes.
Fucking
right?
To do for.
That's all it takes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Is there a striker pack called 2-4? Is that no? Oh man, sheesh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're not allowed to talk anymore. 2-4 bullshit. No,
I mean I'm the lowest rank here, so you know.
I mean, you would easily be at gold takes. If you played ranked.
Okay. I know. I don't care to fucking play.
No, I got you. Really, nothing even came close. Even though Wingman seems really strong, Wingman is only at 10% in a late game.
Yeah, I was going to say, right. But you also got to know the rank. Go ahead, Kenner.
Yeah. I believe they're gold players, actually. I can pull this up again real quick. But
Jamie, pull that up.
Yeah, that's what I would have guessed. I would have guessed they were in the middle, you know, gold or plat, because, yeah, the Wingman is, it's there. It's higher than a lot of other guns, but it's still maybe 8th to 10th on the ranking of times they got finished by that. And I think if you're getting to, like, diamond and above, especially as a finishing weapon, you know, you're probably getting beamed by 301, but people up there love to run the Wingman as that secondary gun and finish kills with that, so... You know,
right,
maybe
right.
As the higher ranked you go, the higher that would go up. Maybe other precision weapons too.
Yeah, I think this is pretty indicative of the skill floor more than the skill ceiling too.
Yeah,
because the 301's got a pretty darn low skill floor, and so does the alternator. You know, being as high as it is, and the car SMG, I'd say probably has a lower skill floor than something like the 99, which would explain why it's. Has higher usage than the 99, despite I wouldn't say having lower DPS or lower DPS or whatever, but for me anyway, it feels like it's stronger.
Yeah.
But yeah, like all these make sense, you know, all the range weapons and stuff that you see in super high level play are very low usage.
Yeah. And that actually kind of ties into our next point. So this is spoiler alert. It's kind of an extremely popular leak that, you know, seems supported by what everyone's hearing and all the rumors and stuff. So basically, spoiler alert, 301 and the Rampage are going into the crafter. But
yeah, I believe one of the devs did confirm that via Twitter today.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was like properly confirmed. And that happened. So that's, you know, that's season 13. Again, starting on the 10th. So wrap up your ranked climb and all that. And then supposedly the Mastiff is going into the care package. So again, I'm gonna miss you, buddy. 301 with 3x and a Mastiff was just my dream loadout. Felt so good.
I know, but at the very least, we're getting a flatline back.
Yeah,
so that's like
acceptable.
When I first heard it, I was happy because I love meta shakeups. But it's like, okay, it'll be like 2 days, and then everybody will be like, all right, I'm used to the flatline again. Or Spitfire or whatever else, you know.
I don't know, man. The 301, like, everybody means the 301.
You're not wrong.
Like,
I mean, there's no reason not to.
If they put it in the care package, I think people would quit the game. Like, I think I did lose like at least a few percentage of players.
Yeah.
Right.
But
now, yes, that is confirmed. I don't know which dev confirmed it, but MediCruz, you know, says now that it's confirmed, and
oh.
he's a yeah.
Yeah. And then the Spitfire.
Yeah, not really a spoiler, but you know, it kind of is, but it's confirmed, so it's not like hearsay or anything anymore.
Exactly. The Spitfire is back on the ground. Spitfire go brrr.
Oh man.
Oh boy.
Oh man, my old Spitty, I missed it. Good old spray and pray. My KD is about to skyrocket.
Let's go.
Yeah, right. Two times Spitty, bro. I actually clipped a highlight from I think Old and Decrepit. They had all these sick nasty plays during the tournament. And I think this person wiped a squad with a single Magna Spitfire. Now granted, it's a care package Spitfire, right? So it's different. But he still had half the mag left.
Yeah. Now that I've just figured out how to use the freaking rampage, it's going in the care bag or going into the replicator now.
I'm a potato. Takes me like 6 seasons to learn a gun, bro.
Yeah. Well, I finally figured out like the recoil pattern and like the fire rate, you know?
Yeah.
That was what was killing me, because I was like trying to adjust recoil like you do a 301. Constantly adjusting, but you gotta adjust it like per shot, and like, you know, it's super weird, but
I really get clowned on trying to track people who are strafing or, you know, AD, 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 going back and forth. Yeah. Like, it's such a struggle trying to match the rhythm to the shots coming out. But
I can imagine how that's really difficult. I haven't had to like go against anybody really strafing. If you can catch them off guard and get a few in them, like, it does just ridiculous damage. And they usually in our tier anyway.
Yeah,
they'll kind of panic and try to find cover or run rather than like strafe and, you know, do all the bullshit that smart people do.
And then we did confirm that Newcastle's abilities are and this is just, these are leaks, but then they showed the gameplay trailer and then, you know, various other media they've been putting out. So Newcastle's abilities are, you can grab the wounded. Basically you can drag down to allies while you revive them and protect them with your revive shield.
Oh, so you can drag them while rezzing. That's interesting.
Apparently. Yeah, that's a thing. So that's a pretty interesting ability, and you could probably quite easily put them in between you and the enemy. You probably have to be squatting since you're dragging someone. I don't know. So I'm interested.
Yeah. I imagine there's, I won't say a cooldown, but like a wind up time where you picking them up, shield deploys, and then dropping them, shield goes away kind of thing, you know, rather than it used to be like with,
With
Lifeline, where you just drop the shield and now you can play shield dance. You know, this is more like a calculated, like, okay, I've got a little bit of a wind up. I can drag him with a shield, but I can't do anything else, you know.
So is this like Lifeline if Gibby was the sperm donor? Like their love child?
No hetero, brother.
No hetero. I mean, hey, man. Oh,
yeah. I forgot. He's gay.
Yeah. He don't have to stick it in, man. But yeah, honestly, like that, you know, like it's pretty wild. It's like a lifeline with fortified.
Yeah, if that's how it works, I think all the lifeline players out there are going, why didn't they apply that to her when she still had her revive shield? I mean, I thought that was the perfect balance between when she had the shield that could just be spammed and, you know, milked for all it's worth, and the state she's in now, which is probably a little on the weak side. Like, why not just have it, but maybe put it on some sort of cooldown.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe that's going to come back after this. You know, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, we theory crafted about it for a good long time about giving the shield health and all kinds of other shit. And
yeah,
I mean, I don't think what they did was the worst move. I think it was pretty well balanced. You know.
Yeah, because the drop and forget drone is pretty nifty, even though it's easy to. Yep. Counter.
Right.
So there's the mobile tactical shield or the mobile shield tactical. You throw a drone that creates a moving energy field. I'm still not convinced that it's moving. People have said that it's moving. I personally think that it appears to be an amped shield from Titanfall, basically. Same effect as a rampart shield.
Yeah.
But bigger and I don't know if it'll have more health, but I think you can only have one out.
I forget where I saw it, but I did see like some really grainy like gameplay footage of it moving and stuff one time. About I'd say about 4 or 5 days ago or something like that. I wish I could find where I saw it. It was probably somewhere in the depths of Twitter.
Probably like a, I don't know. And then the ultimate castle wall. So like in a lot of games, like Borderlands style, Borderlands 3 at least, it's you can leap forward and slam into a target. Maybe you can aim it, like how you aim Fusey's ultimate.
Yeah,
you know, you kind of aim it, but it probably has a way shorter range. But basically, you jump and then slam to a target, ally or area, and create a fortified stronghold. Now it just looks like a kind of a big wall in front of you, but you know.
Now, I have seen a screenshot of this.
And we saw it in the look like a some of the trailers and stuff, and like it looks pretty wild.
Yeah,
and from my understanding, it does have health. I think it has quite a bit of health, but it does have health, so it can be destroyed.
Yeah, because the kaiju blew that shit up.
Yeah, what I didn't know was you could the leap and slam bit.
Yeah,
how much damage that does?
Yeah, does it or damage? Does it stun enemies?
Like, I think stunning would be.
That's the stuff we have to see.
I would imagine it stuns them.
Yeah, stunning would be a bit much, but it'd be reasonable. I don't think damage would be acceptable.
Brushes them under the wall, kills them. Instant death.
wall glitches them.
He's balanced.
Remember when you shut the door a certain way on someone and they die? Remember that wall glitch? Yeah. You just wall glitch them and kill them. I bet you that's going to be a glitch, actually, with that ability. I bet you that's got to be. I can't wait for the clips. You get pushed into the map.
Right. I'm sure they probably rectified that when they fixed the door thing, right? Because, you know, that would apply to pretty much all things clipping, like, that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to talking about the Crash Landing tournament we just had. It was certainly the best looking tournament we've ever put on, thanks to the help with from Crash Tag, one of the Mashos Buttons hosts of Double Tap. He does this shit as a career, you know, esports production, things like that. And man, it really showed that. Just the tournament overlay, the transitions, like everything just looked like it was put on by like an ALGS or I don't fucking know. It was phenomenal. And of course, you guys were our hosts and did an excellent job despite a couple of slight mishaps.
It's part of the dropping spicy spirit.
I mean, you can't have a tournament without like some without some tea, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But we had a full roster of teams. How many teams total was it?
It was 19.
19. So we were missing one, and the only reason I couldn't join in myself, unfortunately, is I'm in the middle of moving, so I didn't quite make it back home in time to join the tournament. But we did peek out at the highest amount of viewers we've ever had on the stream as well for the channel, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. So how was the tournament for you guys? Like, you know, prepping for it and everything. Just, you know, kind of tell me about it. Give me a rundown.
I would say it was the most preparation we've put in of any tournament. And I think that was pretty obvious to anybody that was playing in it or was watching it, right? I mean, we had a number of late night meetings. Like 3 or 4 meetings just to prep for this tournament. But I mean, time well spent. It seemed like everybody's hype.
100%.
The experience as the caster. Oh, I mean, that was not only like the most fun, but it was also the easiest because it was fun because it was easy. You know, like we just really didn't.
Right.
We really was just on cruise control and we could really just focus on the hype plays and the community and the chat.
We're just
and
vibing out.
It was really wonderful. We kissed Crash Tag's ass so much during the tournament before, after, and I mean, it's not going to stop, baby, because we want him to come back and do it for us again. That's how good it was.
Yes, sir, we do.
Right. Yeah. So I know I've seen a whole lot of people, you know, just bragging on, you know, how good it looked and everything. Just multiple people have been like, dude, this is the best tournament we've seen, you know, yada, 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 just praising for the whole thing. How was it actually done? You know, as far as like what you guys did, what Crash Tag did, you know, like just the tentacles and like what do you guys know about like how it was all put together?
Well, he has actually hosted, and when I say hosted, he is the director of the production team. He has done that for ALGS events and RLCS events, Rocket League's professional series. So he basically just set up a simplified miniature version of that for us, right? Because those things he does as his career, this was totally voluntary. And so mm-hmm. he just kind of simplified it. He basically ran everything on his own, except he had the help of the scorekeeper feeding him that data, obviously. Shout out to Chromazel. And then he had one observer, Rave Nitro, something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah. That dude is a legend. I think it's his bro.
Yeah, it's his brother.
But
basically his job was just to observe and help Crash point where to send the stream next. Like, hey, heads up, these guys are top five and they're in a big fight. Boom, that helps Crash Tag send it there. I think Crash was also observing himself on some, plus he's got the cast and our voices in his ears. And as everybody could see, it just helped it flow so much. And if there was any lull moment, it was pretty much on to the next. And that it sounds kind of rocky, but the way he set it up with the team names labeled right on there and everything, it just made it so easy for us. And I think for the viewers to just follow right along. And it was just 2 hours of nonstop action, where in the first couple tournaments, there was probably some downtime as poor ExoMatt, who was trying to color commentate, is also like trying to run, you know, the OBS, trying to figure out, oh, where should we go next? You know, and I was kind of playing spectator those first couple tournaments. So just having that support made it all the much better.
Right.
Yeah. What else was behind the scenes?
But in traditional media or in traditional TV, I forget what the name of the actual job is, but you do have a guy that's like, you know, camera three, right? Transition two, sure. You know, camera two, four, whatever.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff. So I guess that's what his brother was kind of doing. He was kind of making those calls.
Yeah.
Kind of. Cause ideally for like, for a big tournament like ALGS or something, there would be up to like five or six observers and they'd all have like five teams or something to be watching. They'd be multi-streaming and stuff on different monitors and just kind of say, all right, go to this squad, this player, boom. And, you know, and then the sound person would be working on it. And then like the video, somebody has like a digital switchboard and boom, click over to there. Now, while this whole thing was mind-bogglingly, astoundingly, amazingly well done, beautiful, everything, I watched ALGS the next day and I was like, man, this is even crazier. And he does stuff like that too. He absolutely is capable of it. But, you know, he also has a team of like between 10 and 20 plus people working on it and just doing absolutely crazy cool stuff. So that's how it's able to go plus ultra, if you will.
right.
And he actually had a really interesting program. I don't remember what it's called, where he set us up in a browser or something. Yeah. It was a browser source basically that had both of us in a video call and actually could show us a preview of what it would look like and how we looked in that OBS window basically, and captured all our stuff and he was in the voice chat as well. But nobody could hear him unless he turned himself on, but we could still hear him.
Yeah.
So there's like layers. It's like a damn onion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Onions have layers.
Yeah. So that's what I would imagine like being a newscaster or the sportscaster experience is like when you've got the earbuds in and obviously you're talking to the world. They're getting your audio, but then you've got your producer or your director also in your ear going, hey, pivot to this topic, or hey, stop talking about this. We don't want to hit that, or whatever. So, yeah, extremely helpful. And one thing that I forgot to really give him props on specifically, so I'll do it now, was again, this is his day job. He is clearly an expert on it, and he's made a very successful career out of it. That's got to be a challenge to like step down and just do it for a small community tournament as a voluntary thing. Like, and he was never like a prick to work with, you know, he never acted like he was better than us. He was all about the relaxed vibe and like, hey, this is for community. Let's have fun. Let's try to make it a little better, of course, but I mean, he was chill with the whole thing. He really just fit into the dropping spicy vibe, if you will. And just, it's very, very impressive. I really hope we get to work with him again.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm so glad we got the chance to interview him. I almost wish we'd interviewed him after the tournament, because that would have been even sicker, you know? But yeah, it was wicked cool. Did get a big head from all this. No, I don't think the guy even could, honestly. He's too humble.
Have you ever seen the guy cast, like, the sunglasses and everything? Yeah. Like, he never takes some damn things off.
Oh, yeah, real quick, in case you, I did a terrible job in the interview of describing Crash Tag, all right? He's got a short haircut, he's got short, neat, like, little facial hair going on, but not really, just, like, but he's got these big aviators, man, and it's just, like, just calm, cool, collected, you know? He's just, there, he's just, right, he's just chilling.
It's just directly out of a Top Gun movie.
Yeah, you know, or a science fiction film, you know? He's just like, it's like dark in there, and he's just wearing aviators, just ready for anything.
Right. Oh, man. But Crash Tag, if you're hiring.
Actually, Crash Tag, you know, Kura has a lot of experience in AV, so, you know, honestly, if you we should tell him to hit you up. But so in any case, that was just so cool, and it was very smooth, and again, like, to what Adam was saying, he is used to having the top level of everything, and like all these like subscriptions to stuff and these licenses that cost hella money, and he was like bootlegging programs, but like making stuff work with programs that don't necessarily do what he wanted them to do. And like,
right.
He said he had to redo everything like an hour or two before the stream started in a different way. Yep. And he still made everything. Absolutely. He was very dissatisfied with the setup that we showed on the tournament. I mean, he did a great job with it, but he was like, no, you know, I could have done this and this and this. And we're like, bro, this is so sick.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel like that when you're good at what you do, because I feel like that in my job sometimes too. Like, if I'm showing somebody something and it's like, you know, thrown together pretty quick, and like, nah, dude, it could have been way better, you know. And it was kind of like you with the first one that you did, Adam. You weren't satisfied with it, and everybody else was like, this one's great. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Oh man, but it was such a big difference. In case you haven't seen the other tournaments,
oh yeah, it's another level, but we tried, that's acceptable.
But yeah, we just had to talk, and believe me, I love me some talking, bro. It was easy. Like, when we don't have to sit there and I'm like, and Adam's trying to cover while I like change different tabs and the sound goes out and I move to a different stream and the sound comes back, you know, there was none of that. It was, it was smooth.
Yep. For sure.
Definitely.
Just, whatever you do, Crash Tag, don't get too big or busy. Cause we need you this summer. So
yeah. We need you. We can't afford your salary. So, you know,
facts.
Yeah. I'm going to have to fly out there and have him teach me how to use all this shit so he doesn't have to
come. Yeah, you can bring him a cold. You can bring him a case of beer for me, man. Sheesh.
Oh, hell yeah. But once again, thank you, Crash Tag, for everything. Yeah. And of course, thank you guys for putting on a phenomenal tournament. You know, I've casted tournaments before, but you guys have just got this on lock. It's kind of y'all's baby at this point. And I'm fucking here for it. You guys are doing just great with these tournaments.
It's fun. It's
everybody was complimenting you guys.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. It's nice to have your blessing. My only request is that we got to get you playing in this next one, man. And community, hit up Kinder. I want you to spam his messages and get him on your team. This son of a bitch.
Everyone DM Kinder.
He's missed the first couple. We got to get him in on the next one.
Oh, yeah.
Did Woodtier Gaming make an appearance? Because that's what I need to be.
You know, actually, I swear to God they were there. Maybe they were just in chat.
I don't know. I know I've seen them around a few times. I played in some of our earlier tournaments, but like, I always thought that was just the name of the team that I needed to be on. You know what I mean?
Well, there was also...
No, I think you would fit in on Tug Job, personally. Yep. Yeah. You fucking knew. You knew it.
Yeah, we've been spending too much time together lately, Axel and Matt, because we were just about to say the same thing. You need to be on Team Tug Job, Kinder.
Boy. Oh, man. That's something we need to do, too, like, for our next tournament.
Oh, okay, in the tournament. Whew. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, yeah, we need to do a tug job, like 100%. No, I was going to say, for the next tournament, we need to have a team name contest.
Oh, Lord.
To see who has the funniest fucking name, and then, like, maybe do a poll or just have a host vote.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Keep it rated R, but not NC-17, all right? You know, maybe, right, R-minus, you know?
It's a family show.
Yeah. We just got a messed up family. in the best way.
If only you knew.
Yeah, fair.
All right. So let's end things up with our community question of the week. Where do you think Newcastle will fall in the meta? And we had a few responses to that. First one was from Can Is What. And Matt, do you want to start off with that one?
Oh, yeah. And in case you, its name sounds vaguely familiar, but not really. Canis What, I believe, used to be Canis Sausage.
Mm-hmm.
Or Canis Sausage.
Yep.
I think you're right. I believe so. Yeah. Okay. I was like doubting myself, but now I think, okay. So they said, I believe Newcastle is a serious threat to Lifeline's health in the play loop. I told you. It's dumb, thick Lifeline. he has the potential to challenge Gibb. Although I could definitely see the correlation between the two being similar to Ash versus Octane. That's a very, very good comparison, actually. Also, Octane didn't have rockets. He doesn't have jetpack. He has drugs. my mom would be so concerned if she knows an Octane main. for no reason, but I believe his ult could be decent enough, but it will be interesting to see how it interacts with being indoors. That's true. What if it's like fuses ult, you use it indoors, you just die. and it could affect how truly useful he is. It seems like they made him with the oh shit, we just got caught out in the open in mind, which is very relevant. In certain maps, certain places in every map, really, which I think the game was sort of lacking outside of a clutch bubble or movement ult. Really, I think that the Newcastle's place in the meta is entirely dependent on the cooldown times he gets, as he is very similar to a few different legends. So it'll be interesting to see if he will be better than them or fade into the backlight like some other recent releases. Cough Fuse, Cough Rampart, Cough Seer. Okay, look, real quick. Seer is now potentially meta. We saw some Seer in the tournament, both killing squads we were watching and at least one or two crack squads.
Yep.
And first and second of all, like Asus said it, so I don't care, you're wrong. Asus, right? It's just how it is, right? sorry, that's a little cheeky. And then Fuse's bay, so yeah, just you know.
These were some really good thoughts, though, and like, man, I always kind of took Can as a man of few words, but this open forum really serves him well. These were some really good thoughts. I think he's got some really good predictions, and I think he's spot on with, like, we just got to wait and see the small things that he's talking, like the cooldown times. For me, it's not even so much it's cooldown, absolutely, but also like. How clunky are these abilities, if you will? Like, for instance, Crypto, even after his buff, like getting that drone out and doing one of the two options and making sure it does the right thing, that is still a clunky ability, in my opinion. And it takes several seconds to get done. So, like, you know, when he pops that ultimate and he slams down with this big wall, I mean, it sounds crazy powerful, but like, is it kind of like a slow animation? And does it take him a minute to gather back after he places it? You know, I think that all is going to really tell the tale of whether he's meta or not.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I think all of what he said is pretty much spot on, you know, and that's a telltale sign of good game sense, or at least good developer knowledge, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
kind of like what we were talking about earlier with, you know, the cooldowns and how it works with him dragging and using the shield, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, good ICANN. Really, really, really like that response.
I'm curious about how the ults will, and I suppose the tactical will fare against verticality, you know.
Yeah,
because that's one thing. That's one of the reasons why Gibby is still one of the big goats. of sweaty gameplay is it doesn't matter if you're, you know, directly above them with a Sheila or 90 degrees to them on the ground or 45 degrees, you know, up a building, poking out a window, like the bubble stops it all. Yep. Except Maggie's tack, which is nice. But I'm curious how it'll and I don't want it to be a perfect counter to all those angles, but I'm just curious how it will respond to them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, for sure. We're just gonna have to see.
Yeah.
Want me to read this other response?
Adam,
Yeah,
I was just about to ask you.
Sounds good. Yeah. We got our old friend Django Bard Masterclass. He says a new community question, eh? Oh, we missed you, Django. Well, yeah. He won't quite replace Gibby, but he will be a stand-in. He will replace Rampart just because his ult seems to let him jump a good distance, making defensive pushes way more easy.
True.
He will probably work well with Ashe since he can place a barrier right away after. Big brain. Mm. Probably would work with any movement legend for that matter. And as a final note, I think you could do some bamboozles by shielding a decoy, but that's not something big. And then he said, oh, I forgot to use the thread. Well, maybe if I do a name change, though, we'll ignore it. Nice. another good answer.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. The synergy answer there is what I really like because I didn't even think about the synergy with Ashe, but she did really need kind of a good synergist relationship with somebody because she was okay with a lot of different legends, but she wasn't the best pick, right?
Yeah.
You know, she wasn't the best synergy pick. And this may be the one, actually.
Yep.
I think that may be exactly why they put him out, even.
Yeah, actually. And I wanted to read one last one. I may not understand how to use threads. I totally forgot about them, to be totally honest. Atonegram, the GOAT, GG in the tournament. I think he'll be in the top half of Legends, direct competition with Rampart, Lifeline, but still won't replace Gibby. I can see Bangalore's pick rate increase with Newcastle too.
No.
Interesting.
No.
I know, you're a stan for just murking Bangalore. Watch out, bro. I'm gonna give Shiv your address, bro. You're gonna show up at your house.
Please
just
no.
Start yelling. He's just gonna yell outside your house all night.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of hoping that Gibby is not going to be a hard counter to him because of the way the wall works, you know, if it doesn't have any vertical coverage, because you throw the Gibby ult and all of a sudden, well, guess we're not using this wall anymore. Yeah, you know?
That's
true. It Caustic could also be a good counter, really any of those like area.
Well, I was thinking Fuse type because you got two, you just shoot a little thing right past the edge because it's just like flushing someone out of cover, you throw a grenade or you hit the fuse tack right over the edge so that it blocks out half of behind the cover. And if you do that on both sides, then they're going to have to run back and then all the gunshots.
Right. I'm sure they've done some stuff to balance this, to, you know, see how it goes. But I'm very curious to see how they're going to balance it and how it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is that it for our answers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do actually have next week's question of the week here. If you'd kind of fire away on that for us.
All right. So next week's question of the week. Now that the 301 is going into crafting, do you think its usage will go down much? If so, what weapon will take its place as top dog? And I think our thoughts were, you know, probably flatline, but You can give us more than just, you know, flatline, you more than top dog, like, you know, if anything's going to change or whatever. Just tell us your thoughts with how everything is going to change with, you know, certain guns going into crafting, certain guns going into care package, etc. Probably should have worded that different. I probably will on the Discord, actually.
Yeah, but, you know, this is kind of our vibe, you know. As eloquent as that just was.
That was a whole ass vibe right there.
Oh, I know, yeah, dude, exactly. I'm gonna give my quick hot take on that though. Not even a hot take, but I think it's gonna be flatline number one, and then the car number two and the R9 number three. Because R9 with that two times, once you get that recoil down, bro, that thing has got pretty darn good range.
Oh, yeah, that thing slaps, dude. It's a freaking laser beam.
Apparently that's laser beam noises. Yeah. All right.
Pew, pew.
All right. I'm going to start closing things up.
Looking forward to this. Yeah, Peter got a lot of stream followers to listen to.
Me and Exo, we don't even really give a crap about the tournament or the new followers. We just want to hear Kinder have to read all your guys' names.
Yes,
I swear to God, you guys do this on purpose.
Yeah, welcome everyone.
I know you guys did it, but I mean the people that subbed. But yeah, with the tournament, we got, I don't even know how many names.
Over 20.
At least 25 or so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But all right, here goes. Thank you to 1776 Productions, Wingcraft 1, Crossbow Zaddy, KTZ Cordless, Ragers 23, Mr. Baldwin, Potato Gamer 629, KTZ Fate, Blunt Squad 701, I like that name, Yippee Pippy, Turn Me Up Bobby, Oh Lol Sorry, T Freet 1, Little Miss Jane, Shroot Bucks, R41 Full.
Wraithful.
Jiggle. Oh, Wraithful spelled with R for one. Got you. Thank you. Jiggles 9. 0351 Marine. I'm trying to see if that's another.
That's just numbers, dog.
Yeah. 0351 Marine. Wolf Dynamic V2. Ya Boy Special Y. Full Send SMB. The Deadly Dan. Teggy Bear 15. Cap Evil. The Crafty Noob. Tiny Dancer 636, Dr. Fudge DDS, Idiosyncrack.
Yeah.
Cagliostro, River Legs, The Living Room Couch.
Hello there.
What? Hello there.
You got some change?
Yeah. Rob Bell Original, D. Lee Killa. And Prophetic Swine.
Ladies and gentlemen, wasn't as bad as I thought. That was one of the best performances by Kinder. Wow, well done. Hey, and thanks everybody for the follow on the stream. That's dope.
Much
love to all of you. We're going to try and provide you with some heat for our next stream. Definitely for our next tournament. Real quick, loosely planning for the August-September area, but we'll get back to you.
Yeah, boy. And, we do have an ongoing schedule for our tournaments. They are, I believe, quarterly. We're doing them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, that puts us at end of July, early August, if we stick to that.
Yeah.
If.
Right. And I think we have so far, haven't we?
Yeah.
And also, thank you to our latest subscribers, Wolf Dynamic V2. And thank you again, Whiskey, for the 5 gift subs. And I believe there was someone else that also gifted 5 subs.
Yeah, it was
too.
Me.
That was drunk. Exomat.
Got you. I swear to God, I tried so hard to get 5 subs, but I could not get my freaking password. I tried like literally 20 times. I could not figure out my damn password.
Missed the hype train. The train left.
We hit level 4, though.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
The funniest part was Jaw was like, guys, we need to do another tournament. We got 11 subs. I'm like, it was me and Whiskey. Wolf Dynamic V2, one of the, I believe, tournament participants.
He sure was. Actually, no, he wasn't a participant, but he was hanging in chat the whole time. And he said that he was part of the DK4R casual team.
Who did not join the tournament.
He's got to come out and play next time for show.
They showed up with 2 teams and did great. Mm-hmm. And like I said, so much in the tournament. Everybody in there was in a relatively equal playing field, in approximately their skill level lobbies. However, there's a lot of RNG in there too, Maybe the Masters players all one round get hella predators in their lobby and it's just tough and sweaty. Maybe the bronzes get a bunch of silvers in their lobbies and pubs, but naturally, and then it's real hard. So,
Yeah, true shit. And let me finish out these Discord members. So thank you to our latest Discord members, the real Devin 01, the Deadly Dan, TTV, Abel Jackal, Yippee Pippy, and KTZ DX Cordless. And once again, our patrons. Thank you, Adam. Hi, how you doing?
Hey.
good old Buzzy Benson, Crazy 1813, Sav Samurai, Whiskey Sticks, Raw Death 21, and Jerrica Tempest. Hey. Thank you all for your Patreon contribution.
Yes, thank you for your patronage.
Oh, yeah. Good episode, boys. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dropping Spicy and follow Mash Those Buttons on Twitter at The Mash Network. Be sure to catch our live stream every Wednesday on twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons, where we have game night, playing a bunch of Apex with the boys, and some round robin, hanging out. We usually have at least, we have at least six people in every time.
Oh, yeah.
I think last time we had like, how many people? I think we topped out at like 15 people at one point were in and out.
We had a party line. Yeah.
Yeah, there were so many motherfuckers in there. It got hard to hear. But it was a good time. And, you know, of course, more people in the stream as well. And speaking of streams, Atombomb, you want to start us off with your social media links?
Yes, sir. It's pretty much just my stream on Twitch. Atombomb151, A-T-O-M-B-O-M-B 151. Mainly streaming Apex, but I also sprinkle in some Rocket League and Overwatch. So come.
Yeah, if it's really bad, then
come watch me get salty. Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna punish you next game night and play Overwatch.
Yeah, let's go.
Oh God, give me a day's heads up and I'll download it, and you can just be just sad.
All right, what about you, Matt?
You can catch me on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram as 3XOMATT. Play some Apex, Rocket League, Pokemon, World of Warships, all kinds of stuff. I've been playing Vampire Survivors right now. Super cheap game on Steam. I think it's like $3. Super fun. Kind of old school game. Brand new, though. So check it out.
Yeah. It's actually in early access. It's so sweet. Damn new.
Yeah. Yeah, so new, it's hasn't fully dropped yet.
Like my balls. You can find me on Twitter, Twitch, Steam, Origin, YouTube, and pretty much everywhere else at Nerfkinder, please. That's NERFKINDERPLS. And don't forget to join the Mash Those Buttons community on Discord at mash.gg/discord, where you can send us your Apex feedback, stories, questions, and compete in our community tournaments. Submit your clips of the week to be featured on social channels, or just find like-minded people to play Apex with at almost any time of the day and across the world. And of course, all of our other fine communities in the Mash Those Buttons network. If Apex isn't really your cup of tea, which if it isn't, why are you listening to this show? Don't forget to share the show with others and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you want to do that, but the direct link, you can go to droppingspicy.com/Apple Podcasts, but you will need the application. If you would like the direct link, the RSS feed, and all of our other shows, the fastest way to get hold of those is at mashthosebuttons.com. You can also go to mtb.gg/support to see all of the other ways you can support Mash Those Buttons, including our Humble Bundle affiliate link and our PayPal one-time donation button. If you'd like to take your support even further, you can do that by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons. You can support this show by joining the Dropping Spicy membership at $125 per episode or $5 per month. And there is also a general support tier available at just $2 a month. That's going to be it for every time right at the end. Fuck it. We're doing it live. Leave it in, Ja. Stay tuned after the show to hear about the other shows on our network. Eat my ass. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/themashnetwork, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/discord.